I'm Leontine Kelly, Bishop Leontine Kelly. I'm a retired bishop, elected by the Western jurisdiction of the United Methodist Church as a bishop. And we were bishops for life. Staying in relationship with the Council of Bishops, I think, is very important for all of us. And being a bishop of the church is the last thing I ever thought I'd ever do. Going in the ministry was not an option for me. I didn't think I was a, my husband, my late husband, James David Kelly, United Methodist minister, encouraged me to be a lay speaker and to be certified as one. We never even thought about going in the ministry. I didn't, and we never talked about it. But one of the things I wanted to share about the central jurisdiction and the meaning that it has for those of us who are here at this time in Atlanta, celebrating a reunion of the central jurisdiction and members, was remembering the time when around our table in Cincinnati, Ohio, where I grew up, where my father pastored Calvary Methodist Episcopal Church. I was born in Washington, D.C., and was baptized by the one of the first two African bishops, African-American bishops, Bishop Matthew Clare Sr. And the story in our family was when he handed me back to my mother, he said, "Oh, how I wish you were a boy so that my mantle could fall on you." Well, for me, that was no self-fulfilling prophecy. I didn't even think about being a bishop of the church because I taught school and high school social studies, and that was my calling, and I was very happy with it. However, as time, but one of the things I wanted to say, around our dining room table, and even though there were eight of us as children, we were always a part of the conversation. Even though we didn't have much to say, we learned a lot. That's where I met the bishops of the church. It was in that parsonage in Cincinnati that I met Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune. It was in that parsonage that I met Bishop Willis King, Bishop Lorenzo King, Bishop, all the bishops, and people would come to Cincinnati. And because we had such a large parsonage, then our house was always open to anyone. And it was in that parsonage that I came to know all the bishops of the church. And so when, at the point of the establishment of the central jurisdiction, I heard that story from the very beginning, but what I wanted to share particularly was in 1939, when it was finally consummated as a wish of the Methodist Church South before uniting with the Methodist Church North, and they had been divided ever since slavery, because of slavery, then the South insisted that the Negroes we were then in the church be put into this separate jurisdiction geographically. It was like a map on the map. And in the conversations that had gone on before, as people would come through and we'd hear about it, I remember when one of my older brothers, Rossman Turpo, came home as a graduate of West Virginia State College. And he said, "Papa, I've finished college now. I've got a scholarship to Howard Law School and a scholarship to Howard School of Religion. If you can justify to me why you stay in this church that doesn't want you, then I'll go to seminary. If not, I'm going to law school." And my father's words were, "You don't win a battle by leaving the battlefield." And if we ever get we're not United Methodists until 68. They said, if we ever get this church to live up to its own pronouncements, then we can get the church straight. And if we ever get the Methodist Church straight, we will have the country straight. Because there are more representatives in Congress, there are more elected officials throughout the country who are Methodists. And if we could ever, we write good things and we say good things, but we have a problem living them out. And he said to my brother, Whatever you do, whatever you want to do. Because my brother said, but Papa, you can be Christian without being Methodist. You can be Methodist without being this Methodist. You got AME, CME, AME Zion. And Papa said, well, they left, but we're staying. And we're staying to try to get this church straight. Because they can't be the Church of Jesus Christ without us. And I'll never forget that. So that whenever I am in the presence of people from the central jurisdiction, I remember the training we got in the church that we would never have gotten anywhere in the society through the jurisdiction and through the whole church as we did that battle. And what we missed when we did get rid of the central jurisdiction was the relationships that we had made with one another. So this reunion is just very special for me.
One of the things that people have said is that they want the youth to know about the central jurisdiction.
Uh-huh.
And what are ways that we can help them know? I know how we can help them know about it, but you know, it's so important.
I think that our local churches, the black church, is the soul of Methodism. We're not only soulful people, but in as we hold on to our own tradition and why even in the midst of slavery, slaves came to understand Christianity from their point of view as oppressed people. And they came to understand the Spirit and understood God as leading them. And the Exodus experience was easily translated for them as they came out of slavery. And the commitment to Methodism, to the education of black people all along, as a part of the Freedmen Society and the early schools that were set up throughout the South, when during slavery you could not teach the slave to read, that the education of the free slaves was very serious for those persons who were Methodists, became part of the structure. And even now my daughter works for the Board of Higher Education of this church and ministry of the church, so that there was a structuring that enabled us to protest our own experience and not to accept segregation in the church in any form. And that became a constant battle. And for youth, I think that especially in today when our young people are having so much trouble in our communities, that the black church has got to continue to reach out to those young people and engage them in their schools and opening their churches and getting beyond those walls to reach young people. And I'm grateful to, as I've affiliated with the church in California, that is committed to that kind of training. I think the other thing that I'm concerned about, and that is that young black parents don't submit to the kind of carefree parenting that is going on now, where children have whatever they want, whatever it costs, at any expense. That there has to be built into the home situation an understanding of the church as important in the lives of the parent, and the children, and the church, and the community. I remember the YWCA, the YMCA, the church. Those were all factors. NAACP, Junior NAACP, and that kind of thing were all factors. And it gave balance to a life of segregation and racism, because we didn't have the dope issue at all as we grew up. But we've got to fight against those things. We've got to fight for public education and see that public education fulfills the lives of our children in every way, as it does other children. So I think we have to be very active in these areas and to know that God loves all people and that we can't decide who God's going to accept without forfeiting our own acceptance.